Welcome you all today.
Glad to see everybody's here to be in the presence of God and worship Him and enjoy Him. I hope you have enjoyed Him so far and have been blessed. I hope even more that you would just continue to enjoy Him and be blessed even further. Thank you, brother. Father, I just pray right now that you would do what you want to do today, that you would just have your way, and that you would teach us, Lord, and that you would show us your glory. Show us, God, your face this morning. And your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, how many of you were aware that we've had the Vacation Bible School here all week? Okay, a couple of us. It's been really cool. You know, there was like 90-some kids running around just, you know, enjoying the Lord this week. It was a glorious chaos. You know, somewhat organized, but a beautiful chaos. And it amazed me because the theme that they were talking about, I think it was entitled Power Lab. It was all about discovering Jesus's power. How about that? That we would spend a week teaching our children to discover the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, we've been talking for several weeks now about revival and God pouring out His power and how to receive that and how to recognize that and how to be benefited and blessed by that. And here's this curriculum that was probably devised last year sometime, and they put it out for these kids, and all week long, all they hear about is how to tap into and be blessed by the power of Jesus. How many kids were there this week? One, two, three, a handful. Okay. You remember they said there was four things about the power of Jesus. They said the power of Jesus enables me to be thankful. All right, Maya, give it up. Yes, very good. Amen. Jesus' power helps me to do what? Help others, that's right. Jesus' power helps me to be what?
Be brave. Be brave,
that's right. And Jesus' power helps me to do what?
Live forever.
Man, we got some serious young ones here. Praise God. And I promise you, you young folks that are here today that attended VBS, I promise you that if you will seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that He will, in fact, fill you with His power. And you will come to know Him in a powerful, full way. I promise you that. He promises you that. So you don't have to be some, you know, professor in some seminary or something like that. Man, just seek Jesus with all of your heart. Desire with everything in you to know Him, and He will make Himself known to you. Amen? Praise God. So we have been talking about revival and the need for revival in America, the desperate, critical need for revival in our country. God judges the nations. We may not be like the nation of Israel in the Old Testament where they had a specific covenant as a nation with God. Nevertheless, God judges the nations for what they know and what they ought to know. And in America, for the light that we have been given, we have been walking in total darkness, near total darkness. And we cannot escape the accountability of God, and God calls us in this hour, God's people who are here in this nation, His remnant, those who are called after His name, God calls upon us to seek His face with everything inside of us so that He can turn and heal our land before it's too late. And so we've been talking about revival. What is revival, scripturally speaking? Well, the word itself is an English word. It's not Hebrew or Greek or something. It's an English word. Talks about basically infusing new life into something. That little syllable, vive, has to do with vitality and life. And revive means to bring that life again. So it's talking about infusing new life into something. Spiritually speaking, it's talking about infusing new life into His church. But to give you an idea, sort of, I don't know if you've been in this situation. Yesterday morning I was at the gym, and you know what? It was hot and gross yesterday. Was it not? Was there anybody else here who thought yesterday was just frankly hot and gross and oppressive? Thank you. So I'm not alone. So I got to the gym, and I only had a couple hours sleep, and I really was not feeling like being there particularly. I was tired. I was sweaty. I hadn't even started yet, and I was tired and sweaty and gross. And so I only got about 10 minutes into the thing, and I was ready to just walk away. I'm like, this is miserable, man. I don't have any energy. I don't have any vitality. I really don't want to do this. I know I need to do this. And then I remembered that over in the corner, they had a vending machine. And for a measly $1 bill, I could get this 16-ounce bottle of Gatorade or Powerade, whatever it is. Blue stuff. Liquid blue stuff in a bottle. And I remember the sign on the vending machine says they keep it at 35 degrees, just above freezing. So, you know, this smile just starts to break out across my face. I'm like, ooh, I've got a dollar. So I walk over to that thing. I put in the dollar. It works. It gives me my Powerade. And I could just listen to the cap. You know how when you turn the cap and it breaks and it's like, you know, whatever that is? Yeah. You know that noise it makes? Can you do that? Go ahead, go for it. Yeah, that's what it was. It was the sound of refreshment breaking out as I turned that cap, and my spirit got excited in me because I knew what comes after that. And I turned that thing and I popped it off, and I could see that liquid just kind of, you know, moving around inside of there. And I put it to my lips. I could feel the coldness coming through the bottle. And I put it to my lips, and I just let just enough in to just kind of fill my mouth. And I just let it sit there for a moment. And then I felt it go down my throat, and that coldness, as I just continued to drink, that coldness just cooled my throat and went down into my esophagus, and my whole, you know, body core just began to just come alive. It was awesome. I hope I'm not making you thirsty or anything. Well, I hope I am making you thirsty if you're thirsting for the right thing. But do you know what I'm talking about? You know, when you're feeling hot and gross and sweaty and miserable, and you get a hold of something cold and refreshing, and you drink it into yourself, and your whole body lights up. Do you know that feeling? Amen? Amen. That is revival. That is revival, when God infuses new spiritual life into His people, into His body, and it causes us to come out of that gross, miserable, stinky, complacent place and become alive with God again. It's when God invigorates and revives His people to new life. You know, we get complacent sometimes. We get lazy a little bit in our walk. We start to take things for granted. Well, I do anyway. I think most of us would probably agree with that. As the day-by-day routine sets in and you're swamped with responsibilities and you've got demands on your life and this guy wants you doing this thing and this girl wants you doing that thing and you don't have time to do either one and you're running and just busting your back to try to get things done. And yes, you've got faith and you worship and you go through the motions, but after a long time of that, you get a little bit weary. And so you get a little bit careless. And you start allowing yourself things that you might not otherwise allow yourself if you were more vigilant. And the longer that goes on, the more careless you become. And as that happens to the body of Christ in a place, and the world is putting all of its pressure on, raining down all this temptation, raining down all this persecution and all this pressure, there's a tendency to just kind of look like the world. As we try to cope with the pressures and demands of life, and our spiritual vitality is just squeezed out until it's barely dripping out of the faucet. And so we could become comfortable in our sin. We get lukewarm. We get carnal. We get our eyes on the things of this world instead of on the things of eternity. And little by little, we get to a place where we are powerless. And we're out here and we're wondering, man, why is the world getting so wicked? Why is our community and our nation just getting worse and worse and worse, doing more depraved and evil things over and over and over? And we wonder, when will God turn us around? But He calls His church to be the salt and the light of the world. And unless His church is burning with His light, and is alive with His saltiness, man, then we have no influence in the world at all. And the world just gets worse and worse until God has to personally step in and shake things up. But in the meantime, there is a call upon God's people, His remnant. There is a call to seek God, to seek His face, to pray, to seek God with absolute abandon, to put aside the cares and the pleasures of this world, and to seek His face. And if we will do that over and over in the history of the church, we have seen God, when God's people call upon His name and turn to Him, God sends what we call revival. A sovereign move of God, a sovereign spirit-infused breath of life into God's people, so powerful that it affects entire communities, sometimes entire nations. It's not just, oh, let's just get excited again. Let's have a pep rally, and we'll have an evangelism program, and, you know, bring a friend, and we'll do this program or that program, or we'll hype this up or, you know, promote this over here, and we'll just kind of get our gumption up and see if we can't, you know, get people a little bit interested again. That's not revival. Revival is when we come before God, naked and poor, wretched and blind, and we cry out to Him, God, if You don't do something, we will perish. And when we come before Him bankrupt, crying out to Him, it is God's delight to sovereignly send a powerful wave of His Spirit that's like a tsunami. It comes in with power. It comes in with presence. It comes and God takes control. It is not a man-made thing. God can't command revival because we cannot lift a finger to bring it, to do it. It's God. But we can prepare our hearts for it, so that when it comes, it is fruitful and not just, you know, passing and temporal. Now, is this scriptural? Absolutely. Cover to cover in the Bible, you see God. The whole book of Judges is nothing but revival. The people did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, they act like a bunch of heathen. And they got depraved, and then God would raise up a leader, and He would bring everybody. God would work mightily through that person, and the people would get their act together, and things would go well, and they'd be blessed again. Then he would die or something, and then the people would fall away again. They'd fall into sin and compromise. God had to bring up another leader, and then they would rally the people again, and people would turn in repentance towards God. You see this all throughout Scripture. Psalm 80, verses 18 and 19 says, revive us, and we will call upon Your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. It's people crying out to God to revive them. Psalm 85, 6 and 7. The psalmist says, will You not revive us again, so that Your people may rejoice in You? Show us Your mercy, Lord, and grant us Your salvation. There's a hunger there. There is a holy thirst there. These are people who were feeling miserable and gross and cut off from God, and they needed that divine refreshment to bring them to life again and infuse that power inside of them. That's Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament as well.